Shabbat Shalom and welcome to this week's Living Torah. Sorry this is a day late, but my wife drugged me out of town to see our grandchild. No, I went on my own accord. And we spent a couple days up in Colorado with our daughter, our son-in-law, and the cutest, most incredible, smartest grandkid that's ever lived. He's just something else. And you grandparents know what I'm talking about, right? Because yours are the same way. So, but we went up to Colorado for just a couple days and a quick turnaround up there. Had a real good time. So I'm back, and we've got a number of things going on in the world. Wow, it's just little things are going on. Okay, of course, last week the guy that we talked about, the terrorist that was in France, of course, he died in the shootout, which that's what happens. But a lot of anti-Semitism that's going on in various places. I saw something this morning, something going on in Chicago and various places. It's just like this little underlying thing that's growing on a daily basis. And so, you know, a lot of times it's not the big events. People want to see the big events, you know, and this talk show host had this person on, and this is what they were talking about, and all of those things. But a lot of times it's the little things, the small things that are really happening behind the scenes that most people miss. All right, so keep your eyes open for things like that. Of course, Passover is coming up next week. And always around the spring festivals, around the fall festivals, this is a time to be very watchful, of course. I pray that you have your plans for Passover, for Pesach, for Feast of First Fruits, for Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the spring festivals that you'll be involved in. You know, these are commandments. And of course, we're rehearsing between now and the time that Messiah comes. These are rehearsals, so don't get real uptight about, this person does it different than I do. Okay, whatever. We're all pursuing Torah, right? Where none of us are totally observing because there's things we really don't know how to do. But make plans of how you're going to observe this incredible time of Passover, which begins our spring festivals and sets it for everything, the cycle that is coming all the way. And now we start to look toward Sukkot one more time. This is really, really great this year. Those that observe Passover from the conjunction of the rabbinic calendar and from the sighting of the new moon, this year we're on the same page. This year we're on the same date. And I just think that's really a good thing that we can do that. All right, with that, we're going to get into Matthew. And I think we're going to make it to the end of Matthew. Okay, now we started right after Sukkot in Matthew chapter 1. Here we are in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to get to the end. That's close to 6 months to do 5 chapters. What's the chances we're going to get through the renewed covenant before Messiah comes? Not good. So what? I'll let him teach it. He can take over. Hopefully, when it gets to some of these hard parts in here, I'll let him take over from there. Okay, I'm sure he can do a lot better job. We're going to go to, and by the way, thank you for the, I had some a few comments last week regarding divorce, and this has been one that has, people have just used this as the unforgivable sin. How ridiculous. That, it's normally by people that haven't gone through it. Isn't it amazing how people that haven't gone through something are so judgmental about, you know, regarding somebody that has gone through something? We've all got things in our life that we've been forgiven for. If you don't have anything in your life that you've been forgiven for, then you're not part of his family because you have no idea what forgiveness and repentance and all those things and his death and resurrection. You don't know what that's all about. Okay? So if you're just above everybody, whatever. But you're probably not listening to me anyway. Okay? So there's things that people are in that we've had in our lives, and divorce is something that some people count, like I said, as the unforgivable sin, and it just causes a lot of guilt in people. So deal with it and move on from there. And a number of other comments. We had some as far as my comments on modesty last week. Sorry, still got some of this kind of lingering on. I had some comments on the modesty aspect, and of course, you know, I could have gone a long ways from where I did, but we're called to be a people that walk in modesty. And so, you know, take a look at your mirror. Take a look at how modesty can be more than just the way you dress. All right, it can be the amount of time and energy that you put into this outward body. And I'm not saying that we should all go around looking, you know, trying to be as ugly as possible, and we shouldn't take care of our bodies, which we should. But if you're putting more time and effort into the outward than you are to the inward, then maybe you've made the outward a god. And you know what God does with you know what He does with little gods that we make in our lives? He has a habit of tearing them down. And so maybe that's something for you to think about, of how have you how have we made. And it's not just our body, it can be anything. So let's be careful of things like that. So if you're putting more time and effort and, you know, you kind of look in the mirror, okay, now I can go out, maybe you've kind of crossed that line and you need to deal with some things. Because in this day, if we don't deal with it and we're following Him, He's going to deal with it. Okay, be thankful for that. That He's not allowing us in this day to just continue in our sin. He's not allowing us to continue. What is, you know, this weekend, isn't it? Next weekend. It's the same weekend as Passover and Easter, I think, are on the same weekend. Something like, I think it's the 7th or something. But 7th or 8th, whatever. I don't look for when Easter is because I don't care. It doesn't bother me. But, you know, aren't you glad that in this day, He's not allowing us to remain in our idolatry, but He's bringing us out of it. Okay, and we thought, okay, wow, you know, we're coming out of Easter and Halloween and Christmas and all these things, and now everything's great. As we get closer and closer to His day, and we get closer and closer to Him, it's going to be the smaller things. Okay, He's going to start dealing with the littler, smaller details. And that is a sign of where we are, that things that didn't bother you, maybe, you know, last year at Passover, things that didn't bother you back then are bothering you now. You know, what's Passover all about? a lot of things, but one of them is getting the leaven out, you know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, getting the leaven out. And it's not just about the wheat and the flour and all those things that are in your house. It's about the leaven that we have allowed inside of us. The things that we do, the things that we are a part of, that is just as important, if not more important, than the leaven of a little bit of flour or something like that. Okay, with that, let me get a cup of coffee here to get this cough under control, so you're still around. And we'll go with it. Verse 33. Again, you have heard that our fathers were told, do not break your oath and keep your vows to Adonai. Or Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh is what it would be. Now, when we're in, at least in the complete Jewish Bible, when it's quoting Torah, it's in bold print. Okay, and that's going to be very important with this, with a couple of scriptures down. But I tell you not to swear. Okay, right here, we've got to deal with something that most of you have dealt with already. If we want to go from this point, again, you have heard that our fathers were told, do not break your oath and keep your vows to Adonai, but I tell you. Now, there's two ways that we can approach from this point on in this verse, as with all the verses we've read. Are we for Torah? Or are we against Torah? Is Yeshua speaking for Torah? Or is Yeshua speaking against Torah? Well, if we go back to the context, do not think that I have come to abolish the Torah. I've not come to abolish, I've come to fill it up and to bring it to a, bring it to a level that has not been taught up until this time. So if, you know, from this, we can, you know, somebody wants to say, well, this is, you know, Yeshua is speaking against Torah. Well, that's the way that you can read it if you want to read it, but that means he's not the Messiah, for one. Okay? So, I'm going to choose to go the other way. And so I'm not going to take it as, but I tell you, not to swear at all, but I'm going to look at it this way. You've heard that our fathers were told, do not break your oath and keep your vows to Yudei Vavhei. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to expound on this verse a little bit more. And here's what I'm going to say about it. Do not, but I tell you not to swear at all. Wait a minute, we've got a problem. Because in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, Numbers chapter 30, verse 3, Deuteronomy 23, verse 22, and I hope I gave you the right references right there. Yes, I do, maybe not. Okay, that was about the first one. Let's go to the second one here. Exodus 21, 24, Leviticus 24, 20, Deuteronomy 19, verse 21. These verses all tie together with swearing and things like this. What he's saying is, but I tell you not to swear at all. He's not saying anything against the Nazarite vow. Okay? Paul didn't give the message on this one, huh? When he took the Nazarite vow, which is swearing an oath, whoever was here, Matthew forgot to tell Paul about that. No, I don't think so. So he's not talking about that. This is a whole different concept that he's adding to, or he's not adding. He's filling up the house of the Torah with. Hope I'm saying that good. I somehow don't think I'm communicating this well. So I'm just going to read it and go from there. But I tell you not to swear at all, not by heaven because it is God's throne, not by earth because it is His footstool, not by Jerusalem. Because it is the city of the great king. And don't swear by your head, because you can't make a single hair white or black. Just let your yes be simple yes. And your no, a simple no. Anything more than this has its origin in evil. I guess if I'd have stayed simple with this, as Yeshua was doing, I wouldn't have gotten real confused there. So let's expound on this just a little bit, very simply. When we have to add something to our word, it's of evil. It's what Yeshua is saying there in that last verse. I swear to, and I'm going to use this in the context, I do not use this phrase at all, ever. And this is one of those that our kids know. You do not do this, and if I hear your kids do it, I will probably correct them. The phrase, I swear to God. That, you know what this is about? Those things are using His name in vain. When we start swearing, I swear over the temple, I swear over Jerusalem, of course we don't do that today, but I swear over, grandma's grave or something like this. We're heading to a place that Yeshua says is evil. And we can start to invoke the name of God here, which is what one of those verses in the Torah tells us. And when you say something like that, I swear to God, you know what you're doing? You're using His name in vain, because it's a repetitious, almost an idiom today, a statement that is invoking His name without really thinking about who He is. So if you're one that you have in your vocabulary the words "I swear to God," do yourself a favor, delete them. Okay, give your spouse, give your children, give anybody around you permission. If you hear me say that, you correct me, because those are words of vanity, which goes back to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Which is the Ten Commandments. Do not use His name in vain. But let your yes be yes,
and your no be no. There's no reason to that a person should have to say, well, I swear by this or I swear by that. Because our yes should be yes. Our word should be our word. Okay? Remember, as a kid, you know, well, I promised to do this, but I got my fingers crossed. Okay? And when you start figuring out that game with somebody, you know, you knew that they were somebody that was, well, it doesn't matter what they tell you, they got your fingers crossed, their fingers crossed. So you start looking behind their back. Now, I don't have my fingers crossed, I have my legs crossed. Or I had two hairs on my head crossed or something like that. That's all of evil is what the Scripture is telling us, what Yeshua specifically is telling us. Let your yes be yes. It's your no, let your no be no. Folks, there's two things, and I've tried my best to instill this into our children. There's two things that you have in this life. Your name and your word. What else do you have? There's really nothing else. I mean, everything else can be taken from you. It's very difficult for somebody to take your name away. Now, it is... You can have your name blasphemed, attached to things. I mean, you know, you go on the internet and type in, you know, I've got some things that people have used me out of context. They've said things but from your own standpoint, okay, your name should be something that you try to uphold. I've told our children this especially our two boys. Who continue to carry my name. When you go out and you do something, you're either upholding my name or you're destroying my name. The other thing that you have is your word. Let me ask you, are you a man or woman of your word? I was brought up, my grandmother said there's two things in life that she hated. Liars and cats. She hated cats because they got in her flower bed and started digging up, and you know what cats do when they start digging. And she hated cats because of that. Well, I personally have gotten over cats. I kind of like them. I have two. I like them sometimes. I still haven't got over me and my grandmother share a absolute dislike for liars. If you ever lie to me, and I'm not talking about, you know, well, is this kind of lie or that kind of lie, to me a lie is a lie. It doesn't really matter. A lie is a lie, and you can tell a white lie or a black lie or a purple polka dotted lie is still a lie. And once you lie to someone, they can never trust you again. Okay? Once you lie to someone, they can never trust you fully, totally, and completely again. What is Yeshua saying to us? Be a man or a woman of your word. And that would be a pretty good thing to restore in this day. If you tell somebody, I'm going to be there at a certain time, well, then be there. People show up late all the time. Or, well, I'm going to be there, and they don't show up. You know, showing up late is a real pet peeve of mine. If I show up late if I'm coming to your house or to a meeting or something, if I'm late, there's one or two things that have happened. I'm dead or something outside of my control has happened. Why? Because for me to show up late is to rob you of something you can never have back. If I show up 10 minutes late, I've robbed you of 10 minutes of your life that you can never have back. It's the ultimate insult to not care about another person's time. And this all goes into this. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Which Torah teaches us what? Take responsibility for yourself. Take responsibility for your actions. Be a person of a name, His name, and of your word and His word. A lot to be said in those few verses. Okay, verse 38. You have heard that our fathers were told, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. We actually dealt with this one in a midrash that we did in Israel, because we were at that point in Exodus where we had these verses. Now, does this mean that if a person causes you to lose your eye, that you're to gouge their eye out? No, it doesn't. What is Torah teaching here? And this has been very much misunderstood by people. sorry. Because Israel never did this. Nor were they commanded to gouge a person. This is where Islam has taken it. You know, that if you steal, you have your hand cut off. That's Islamic law. That is not what the Torah says. And by the way, Islam is, and the Quran is basically a perversion of the Torah. Okay? So, you see a lot of perversions here. What is it saying? It's talking about limited liability. Hey, I've got an insurance policy that insures me. I've got an accidental policy that insures that if I die, I'm worth this much. Or if I lose an eye, my eye is worth this much. Or if I, lose an arm, that arm is worth this much, and the insurance policy will pay. If you get in a car accident, and in a car accident, it's not your fault, somebody else's fault, and you lose the use of your left arm. Okay, a person cannot take you to court and charge you for first-degree murder for that. You can't take, if that happens to you, you can't take the other person to court and charge them for first-degree murder. Why? Because you weren't killed. You lost the use of your arm. What can you take them to court for? For use of your arm. What is the use of that arm worth monetarily? That you can sue them for. Okay? That you can take them to court for. So the Torah is speaking here of limited liabilities. But then Yeshua is going to take it to another place. But I tell you, not to stand up against someone who does you wrong. Uh-oh. We don't like that one. On the contrary, if someone hits you on the right cheek, let him hit you on the left cheek too. It doesn't say what to do after he hits you on the left cheek, right? Okay, no, I added that. If someone wants to sue you for a shirt, let him have your coat as well. If a soldier forces you to carry his pack for 1 mile, carry it too. When someone asks you for something, give it to him. When someone wants to borrow something from you, lend it to him. Now, this is not speaking here of becoming a doormat for someone. Okay, this is not speaking of becoming Mr. Milquetoast for, just allowing everybody to abuse you in every aspect of life. I don't see that as the context. What I see it as this: do good to those who seek to do you wrong. And this will be expounded on in the next verses. Okay, if someone is seeking to do you wrong, try to overcome that wrong with good. Instead of going to where they are, instead of stooping to their position and say, somebody hits you on the right cheek. Well, I'm going to punch their lights out. Somebody slaps you on the cheek. What are you going to do? I'm going to punch their lights out. I'm going to take a gun and I'm going to kill them. I'm going to go to their level and then give it to them a little bit more. That's not what Torah teaches. That's not what Yeshua is teaching. What he's teaching us to do is this: is try first to overcome evil, the evil in another person's actions. Try to overcome that first by the good in your actions. If that doesn't work, then we've got to go to another place, okay? We don't become just a doormat and all those things. I don't think that's what Yeshua is telling us to do at all. But he says to overcome evil with good. I have a friend of mine that tells a story about a person that wronged her. And I mean, she tells a story. And I won't give you all the details, nor would I, even if I remembered them all exactly. But this person absolutely betrayed her and wronged her to a place that, you know, it was bad. And she was kind of dealing with this. What do I do? What do I do? You know what she ended up doing? Like I said, I can't remember all the details. She ended up taking a bouquet of flowers to that person's house. And you can imagine when the person opened the door, they don't know what to expect. And she handed her a bouquet of flowers. Said, "I forgive you." Wow. She tells a story of what happened in the restoration that happened. And what went on in that. You know, that's... I don't do that well. That's something I don't do. It's something I need to work on. I don't always have the maturity to do something like that, to try to overcome evil that has been done to me with good. And as these are verses that, as I'm talking to you, I'm also talking to me. Okay. So, verse 43. You have heard that our fathers were told, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Wait a minute, excuse me. In my Bible, the love your neighbor is in bold print, and it gives us a reference to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And let's see what that says. It says this, don't take vengeance on or bear a grudge against any of your people. I think that's what Yeshua was just talking about. Rather, love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Where's the hate your enemy verse? Can't find that one. You know why? Because it's not there. And if you go back to, and in the in David Stern's translation, here's the bold print of love your neighbor, and then hate your enemy is not in bold print. What does that mean? It's not in the scripture. There's nowhere in the scripture that says to hate your enemy. You've heard that our fathers were told, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, it's the same same words that Yeshua has been talking about up till now. And he's been using references to Torah. And so if we don't know the Torah, what do we do? Well, I guess the Torah says hate your enemy, so Yeshua is teaching us something different. It says, you have heard that our fathers were told. It didn't say these things were told were in the Torah, did it? You've got to make the discernment of whether they were in the Torah or if man added them to the Torah. And that's exactly what happens here. Is it was added to hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Okay, black magic marker time. Scratch that one out. You know, you what? Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. What? Are you serious? You want me to do what? Yeah, that's what he said. I mean, you can look this up in Greek and even back trace it back to Hebrew. You know what it says? It says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Wow. This will tie it all together at the end, by the way. You know, I remember being here, you know, last month I was in Israel. And we were up in the so-called West Bank. And during our pruning time every day, we had a 30-minute prayer shift. And we were surrounded, literally, where we were at in most of the areas that we were pruning, we were surrounded 360 degrees with Arab towns. We could look out and see what is now Nablus, or, you know, in biblical Shechem. We could look out and see these, what is it, Aurora? Not Aurora, one of the towns that many of the Palestinian suicide bombers have come from. In fact, even today, and I'm going to put this picture up later on, today they have, along the street of this town that we had to drive through all the time, their pictures of posters of suicide bombers on the light posts. You know, these people that had strapped a bomb to their body and gone off and killed so many people during the last Intifada, the uprising. These people are heroes. They're the martyrs of the day, and here we're seeing this as we're going through these towns. And standing out there and praying over the hills of the Shomron, Samaria, looking at these Arab towns, knowing the people that are in those towns and how many of those people are plotting to kill Jewish people and would do all kinds of things if given the opportunity. I found myself, God, I need to pray for these people. And that was hard. It's not easy to look out over the hills of Samaria and see these Arab towns and pray for those people that would seek to persecute our family, to persecute us, to kill, to steal, to destroy, whatever they could do, but to pray for them. As it was quite a challenge, and something that I worked on as I was in Israel. But if we will do that, here's what the scripture says: to love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, then you will become children of your Father in heaven. Kind of a strange place to put this verse. And I'm going to skip over it for a moment because we're going to come back to it in the end. For he makes his sun shine on good and bad people alike, and he sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous alike. That's true. When we went through tornado a couple of years ago, it was, I had all kinds of things in that one. Well, God did this to you, and, God did this, and God, give me a break. I was listening to, they've got this big wildfire up in Colorado. Well, the hand of God. There's things that he put into place, and it's because of sin. There was they said that, some of these, just to give you an example, they were trying to think of this wildfire in Colorado, if it was started because of the controlled burn or if it was a lightning strike. Well, if it was controlled burn, then it was the stupidity of people. If it was a lightning strike, it was the hand of God. Well, excuse me, I don't think that in the garden in Genesis chapter 1 there was lightning strikes that caused fire. Maybe it's the sin in the world that is causing these things. And that sin still affects. Though we may be in Messiah and we may be pursuing Torah, these things still affect us. But what do we do with it when it affects us? That's the key here to me, is when we look at these verses, there's going to be good and bad that happen in everybody's life. It's what you do with it. It's what you do with it that either makes you a good witness or a bad witness. It's going to rain on everybody. There's going to be drought on everybody. There's going to be things that are going to come upon your life that are going to be good and bad. Whether you're, rolling Easter eggs this Sunday or you had just had a Passover service, they're still going to be good and bad. What are you going to do with it? That's the decision that each of us has to make. I'm going to go to, didn't ask him permission again, but Daniel wrote he doesn't call them poems, he just calls them writings. I'm going to read this to you. This is something Daniel did just as he came back from, because of the date, it was right after we came back from Israel. It's called Learning to See. I think it goes along with these verses very well. There is a beauty in everything, everywhere. You only need to know how to look. It is in the obvious things that catch your eye from the start, such as a painting that came from the mind of a true artist, straight from his own childhood, or in a song in which every word was carefully orchestrated in a musician's heart. It is in the natural things that God Himself created, like the sound of a waterfall in a tropical forest. The way its crashing comes together with the rustle of leaves and the harmonious chirps of birds to make a symphony with God as its conductor. It is in the way He diligently carved each individual stone in a canyon, and how the walls of rock are set ablaze as the evening sun meets them day after day. These are all wonderful things we have been given to behold, good in our eyes from the beginning, though it isn't about us. Even the things we first perceive as bad can also be divine, if we would be willing to look beyond the first glance. As in the way that a tornado rips its way through a house, only to guide the owners to a place more prosperous than the first. In the same manner that a violent rainstorm is capable of moving trees, only to clear the way for a new wave of life to take place. Let us not be so quick to think we know the reason for everything. Learn to be patient and listen. Learn to trust. Learn to see with more than your eyes. Again, it is not about us. It's about God. And faith in Him means faith in His timing. I thought that's pretty good. So if you like a copy of that, email me and I'll send you out. Check with Daniel and just put his name at the bottom of it if you send it to somebody. So here in these verses, as Yeshua is talking about, look at the bigger picture. Look at what's going on. And it's not about what has happened to us. It's about our attitude that we have. You know, the reference to the tornado was our family specifically. It's about our attitude toward what happens to us. We can be a good witness to those around us, to our family, to our children, to draw them closer to God. Or, when things happen that are, in our eyes, bad, we can also become a stumbling block to those around us, to our family, to our children. When things happen that you don't understand, when things happen that you and I maybe consider as bad, what are we doing with those things? What kind of a witness are we becoming through those things? If you notice in your family and the friends that you have that, they're not really living a life that's, they're kind of falling back, especially with our kids, especially with our families, those that are closest to us. You know, our faith, their faith is tied to ours. Maybe they're looking to us for faith. What are they finding? Are they finding faith or something else? Maybe that's what God's trying to do in our life. Okay, let's go on. What reward do you get if you love only those who love you? Why, even tax collectors, I love it. Even the IRS can do that, right? If you're friendly only to your friends, are you doing anything out of the ordinary? Even the goyim do that. Okay, let's kind of retranslate this. He's taking the people that are tax collectors as people that are, you know, not that they're in that day. A lot of the tax collectors were cheats. Okay, they were accepting bribes and doing all kinds of things, and so they weren't living a life that was godly. And this word, even the goyim, the word here, goyim, are those that are away from God. All right, you and I, as according to Ephesians and all through the Torah, are former goyim. Don't call yourself a goyim anymore, because you're not a goyim. You're now joined to Hashem, and so you're a former goyim. So this word goyim, those are away from God. All right, and so he says, if you're really friendly to your friends, Even somebody that doesn't know God can do that, stupid. Get a life. You know, rise to the occasion. Live above the circumstances. Live above what's going on around you. That's a life of God. In God, that's a life of faith. It's when we rise above the circumstances and we see what He is doing. All right? This all ties together the same way. Therefore, be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. I heard a teaching that it laid it out like this, that to be perfect is to live the Torah. All right, and I would say more to pursue the Torah. That the Torah has with our imperfection or our sins, when we miss the mark. Here's where the Torah, the whole message that we have about Passover in next week is coming into play here. But one person translated this pretty well, I think. Therefore, live the Torah as your Father has given you the Torah to live. That's pretty good. All right. As He has given you the Torah to live, live it. All right. Don't just talk about it. Don't just look at it once a week and listen to a video from me or somebody else and go, okay, well, that's it, and close the book. But live these things. All right. We can go so many different places in this. How are you doing? We're coming up on Passover. We're coming up on the time of the spring festivals that set in motion the whole cycle that is going to bring us, hopefully, again this year, closer and closer to the Torah. Am I talking about the living Torah, the written Torah? Yes. It's going to bring us to everything a little bit better. And this is a good time to go back a year, to go back even to Passover. How are you doing? How are we doing as He calls us to live the Torah as He has given it to us? Well, I forget. When it comes to, I forgot to put those zit on again this morning. And I don't see too many people that say, I forgot to eat breakfast. I forgot to, you get to work. Oh, I forgot to comb, when have you ever heard a lady, I forgot to comb my hair this morning. You get to work. Oh, I forgot to put on my makeup. I forgot to put my pants on. That which is important to you, you do. That which is in your heart, you do. Oh, I forgot that pork wasn't kosher. I went out last night and I was two-thirds the way through that pork chop before I remembered that that's not clean. Oh, went out to breakfast and I don't know what it was. I just forgot all about the bacon wasn't kosher. I forgot that it was Shabbat. I need to put a sign up that says, Remember Shabbat. Yeah, they're all over in the book, by the way. This is the difference of in Jeremiah. It talks about, I will make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel. Okay, if you're part of the house of Israel, then today you have that renewed covenant. And it says, I will write it upon your heart. Which means we do things not from the external, because we have to, because, oh no, I can't. I can't murder. I was going to get in trouble there. Oh, I can't murder. I just can't stand that I can't do it. Give me a break. I could go through all these, all these different ones, and I could I could do a lot right here, and I'm not going to. But we got to get over that attitude of, oh, no, I can't do this, and I can't do that because of the, no. it's a part of me. Okay, putting on my tzitzit in the morning, it's a part of me. Eating kosher to the best of your ability in this crazy unclean world, it's a part of who I am. Observing Shabbat, it's a part of who I am. It's like your name. You know, your name is who you are. The word name is the word Shem. And it's not just a verbal, people get caught up in the pronunciation of His sacred name and forget about that we're supposed to live by His name. It's not about how you pronounce His name. It's about how you live His name. It's about how you live His name through you. His name, His word in you. When it's inside of you. You don't forget. You don't just go, oh, wow, I forgot about these things. And you take responsibility. Let me finish with this one. In this verse. Therefore, be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. This word, teleos, is another, there's a number of translations for this. It is a Greek word. And it can be translated like this. Therefore, be an adult just as your Father in heaven is an adult. It can be translated from there like this. Grow up. Quit being a kid. You know, as Paul would talk about, when I was a child, I did childish things. But now that I've grown up, the book of 1 John will talk about the little children, the young people, and the fathers. Be a father. Take responsibility. Look at the things of the Torah and then take responsibility for it. I think that's, to me, that's the message of all of this. Is, therefore, grow up. Be an adult. Take responsibility for your actions. Quit playing games with what you're doing. Quit playing games with your life. Quit playing games with this book, which is what they were doing. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. They were playing games with it. Quit playing games. Take responsibility to live this life as an adult. You know, as a child, we made excuses for things. As a child, other people make excuses for you. Well, it's their immaturity. You know, a teenager. You know, we'll see them make a decision that's not too swift. And they're immature. Okay. And that's part of it. Okay. But what do we expect? As that person grows up, we expect them to mature. That their age and their maturity would keep up with each other. You know, when we were with our grandson these last few days, there's things that he does today that are cute, like, you know, trying to put things in his mouth, all kinds of... He's almost perfect, so, you know, I'd have to use somebody else's grandson to come up with something, but I'm kidding, back off. But, you know, there's things that a little child does that are cute. You know, throwing things on the floor or something is cute. Getting their face, with, you know, you give them spaghetti and they put it all over their face. That's cute. Actually, sometimes people get, paid money for this because they win something on America's Funniest Home Videos. But if you're, you know, if we were at the restaurant the other day and we had put a plate of spaghetti in front of our grandson and he'd got a little bit on his face and, you know, his hair and stuff, probably people would have come by and said, that's cute. If I'd have done it, it wouldn't have been cute. Well, people would have laughed, yes. But it wouldn't have been cute. I would imagine that everybody at the table would have been a little on the embarrassed side. What do you think? There's a place when we come into Torah, when we come to God, there's a place that things are cute. There's a place then we need to grow up. What's Yeshua telling us? Through all the verses that we've read up to this point, and we'll continue to read, he's telling us the message of Torah. Take responsibility for your actions. Grow up. Be a man or woman of God. Live by His name. Live by His word. All right? So with that, Passover is coming. So how about be serious about it, okay? It's not just kind of, oh, well, whatever. Let's be serious about His instructions. All right. With that, I'm going to be out of town a few days next week. I'm not exactly sure how the video is going to come out next week. I have no idea until I get into next week, but I've got some things that are going on. I'm going to try to surprise you, hopefully, and give you something right in the middle of that. So, pray that that actually happens. All right. Excuse me, because with that, with me, you never know. All right. But with all that said, Chag Sameach. Shavuot Tov. Have a great, blessed preparation for the festivals coming up, and a wonderful, blessed, and prosperous week as we seek to live by His name and by His word. God bless.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom.